much-needed Ukrainian grain supplies are starting to reach those most at risk of starvation in Africa. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. A freighter called the Brave Commander has docked at the Red Sea port of Djibouti in East Africa today. On board is one of the first shipments of grain allowed to leave the Ukrainian port of Odessa since Russia invaded the country back in February. This delivery has been arranged by the UN to get wheat to nations at risk of starvation. East Africa is a region in dire need of supplies. The BBC's Catherine Birahanga spent her morning at the port of Djibouti, where the ship is docked. She explains what happens now to the food on board.
We had workers coming in, pulling it closer to the shoreline, and then these massive, gigantic cranes were moved into position with the hope that they will start offloading the grain. It's incredibly hot in Djibouti, so I assume the workers are taking a break, and when it cools down, they'll start offloading the ship later today and bagging it before it's taken to Ethiopia.
And that is a country that is seeing its worst drought in 40 years alongside a number of conflicts. Will the wheat that's headed there be enough to supply those who need it in Ethiopia?
Ethiopia is a country that really does need this food support from the World Food Programme. The organization told us that they're supporting around 10 million people in the country. So what you have are conflicts, particularly around the region of Tigray, where there's been civil wars since the end of 2020. So this food aid is meant to go towards supporting people in these various communities. But this shipment has only brought in 23,000 tons of wheat, and it's meant to support 1.5 million people for just 1 month. So it's definitely nowhere near enough what's needed within Ethiopia itself. And so what the World Food Programme is saying is that they're hoping that more shipments will be coming in to try and support communities across the Horn of Africa where we have conflicts and drought affecting access to food.
And are there other resources available, or are these countries just really heavily reliant on the supplies that are still stuck and slowly coming out now of Ukraine?
When we look at issues around access to food in the region, you're talking about pockets of areas in southern Ethiopia and eastern Ethiopia, then in central and southern Somalia, northern Kenya. So these populations are the ones that are heavily impacted by the ongoing drought. In those areas, what aid agencies try to do is provide food support, as we're seeing with this shipment. But right now, what we're seeing across East Africa is, you know, the knock-on effects of this war in Ukraine, which has pushed up fuel prices, food prices, making it harder for people generally to put food on their table. And so countries are having to source grain from other areas, for example, Turkey, India. And these are some of the countries that are stepping in to fill the gap left by these grain shortages from Ukraine.
The BBC's Catherine Birahanga for us in Djibouti. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
Thank you for having me.
Checking the numbers now, European stocks are bouncing back from yesterday's sharp declines caused by nervousness over the trajectory of global interest rates. Benchmarks in Paris, Frankfurt, and Madrid are up in the 1 to 1.5% range. London's FTSE is flat as it reopens from yesterday's bank holiday and plays catch-up to global shares. It was a mixed picture across Asia today. The Shanghai Composite Index slid 0.4% as large cities, including Shenzhen, implement strict COVID-19 restrictions. Another sign of economic trouble for the world. Second biggest economy, Chinese property giant Country Garden, reported a record 96% plunge in first half profits thanks to a, quote, severe depression in the nation's property market. To Pakistan now, where devastating monsoon floods have washed away bridges and roads, destroyed rich farmland, and left hundreds of displaced families without food or clean drinking water. The IMF has approved the resumption of a multi-billion dollar loan program, which the country's prime minister has called a major first step in getting the country and its economy back on track. The BBC's Anbarasan Etirajan has more.
The IMF will release the money immediately to Pakistan, which has been suffering from dwindling foreign currency reserves to pay its imports and crippling debt. The reserves have dropped to around $8 billion, enough to pay for less than 2 months of imports. The IMF has also agreed to extend the credit facility to another year. The decision by the international lender will help Pakistan to approach other bilateral funding avenues to boost its reserves. To add to its economic crisis, the country has been devastated by floods, with millions of houses damaged or destroyed and much of its farmland underwater.
That's Anbarasan Etirajan reporting there. Many parts of Europe have been contending with the driest summer in 500 years. Spain is one country particularly affected by drought, and that has been a problem not just for producers in the European agricultural powerhouse, but for consumers too, who are seeing prices surge for everyday goods like olive oil. Official inflation figures released on Tuesday showed prices have jumped 10.3% since this time last year. The BBC's Mark Lowen has more from Andalusia in southern Spain.
We're driving towards Jaén, north of Malaga, and everywhere you look, there are olive groves on the parched hills. Spain produces around half of the world's olive oil, and Jaén accounts for half of its entire production. But this olive oil capital is suffering.
Este, por ejemplo, no tiene ninguna aceituna.
Francisco Elvira picks his way through his field, scorched by the country's worst drought on record.
Look at these trees. They ought to be bursting with olives now, close to the harvest, but they're bare. And this is the crop that should produce the oil in supermarkets next year.
At the Interoleo factory, production is dropping by 50%. And the cost of a bottle is soaring.
Juan Gadeo, the president of the cooperative, says what's happening is having a devastating impact for the company and the farmers, and is being felt in the pockets of the consumer.
Shoppers are already paying a third higher than last year, but the drought will increase that even more. With the downturn, we may have to lay off some workers. Another year like this would be a complete catastrophe.
Water scientist Julia Martinez says it's an unsustainable model.
Water resources are declining due to droughts and climate change, but also and mainly to the increase in water demands, especially irrigation. The total area of irrigated lands consumes around 85% of total available water resources in Spain. We need a water transition in Spain to make agriculture more resilient to climate change.
At the olive oil factory, what's called Spain's green gold is now even more prized. The cost of climate change on our planet and in our pockets is becoming starker. And out in the parched plains of Andalusia, there's still no rain forecast.
That's the BBC's Mark Lowen reporting from southern Spain there. And in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.